Ruth chapter 2 and the verse 20. Maybe our brother Adrian, would you open those two windows, brother, please? Ruth chapter 2 and the verse 20. It says, "And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." I want you to think of those words at the end of that verse. "And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." Many years ago, a little lad who had an interest in boats and boating, he took the time to make a little yacht for himself, just for his leisure time, for his enjoyment. He and his friends spent a lot of time down at the lake and down by the sea, just setting their little yachts into the water. He took great pride in it, in all the work that he'd put into it, and he was delighted with it when it was finished, and it gave him many hours of pleasure. But one day what happened, there was a little bit of a disaster. There was a strong wind that arose when he had the little boat out on the lake, and it drifted away. And he watched, and he kept his eye on it, but he just couldn't follow it entirely. And he lost sight of the little boat and had to go home that day without it. And he was very disappointed. His heart was broken. But some days later, down in town, walking through the town centre, in a shop window, he saw his little yacht sitting. Someone had found it and retrieved it and sold it to the shop owner. And he went into the shop and he told the shop owner it was his yacht. He had made it. He had put hours of labour into it, many hours of enjoyment from it. But despite all that he said and all the entreaties that he made, the shop owner told him the only way that he could have the boat was if he paid for it, if he bought it, paid the price tag that was attached to it. So he ran away home and he emptied his money box, and with just a little bit of money to spare, he had sufficient in his savings to buy the yacht again. When he came out of the shop with the boat under his arm, and he was very proud and very pleased to have it again in his possession, he said, he declared, "You're twice mine. I made you, and now I've purchased you. Now I've bought you back again." And I want you to think of that story, brethren and sisters. That boy paid the price. That little lad, he bought back what was lost. And that simple story is an illustration of the great gospel truth of redemption, the meaning of the word that you've read on the wall behind me here for so many years as you have attended this house. Redemption, of course, is one of the great themes of Scripture, one of the great themes of the message of the gospel itself. You think of some of the very well-known verses that speak about redemption, speak about being redeemed, speak about the person of the Redeemer himself. The words that we read from Job 19, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." Can you say that today? You know about the Redeemer, but can you own him and claim him personally? There's an old gospel hymn that has the lines in it, "My Redeemer, my Redeemer." Is he yours today? "I know that my Redeemer liveth." You think of the words of the psalmist, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." You ought to tell others. You ought to be a witness. That's one of the things the Lord wants you to do every day you live. That's what you do, in essence, when you give your testimony. You're saying so. You're one of the redeemed of the Lord, and you're saying it. You're telling it to others. Think of the great prophecy of Isaiah. Redemption is one of the key words of the book of Isaiah, 24 times at least, you'll read about redemption. Think of Isaiah 43, that lovely portion. Fear thou not. Maybe that's the message you need for your heart this morning. Whatever your situation, maybe that's the message the church as a whole needs today. Fear thou not. Why should you not fear? He says, for I have redeemed thee. You know, men and women, there's nothing gives you peace. There's nothing takes away fear like the knowledge of God's salvation. The fact that you have experienced his redemption. You may be afflicted today. You may be persecuted. You may be attacked. And all of those things go with being a Christian. You may be unwell, experiencing illness and affliction. But the Lord wants you to remember, you're to fear not, for I have redeemed thee. That's your standing today before God, and it can never be changed. It can never be taken from you. You think of Paul's words to the church at Ephesus, this text behind the pulpit, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of all of our sins. Think of the well-known words in Peter's letters, not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. So there's not a doubt about it. It's like the scarlet cord runs right through the Bible. Redemption is one of the greatest themes of all Scripture. And I want to say to you today, don't be put off by the words or the terms. Often people are when they read some of those great gospel terms and truths. Remember what redemption means. We've given you an illustration of it today already. Redemption is paying the price to buy back that which was lost. And that's what that lad did. But most importantly, men and women, that's what Christ did when he died on the cross. Paid the price of his own precious blood to buy back, to save, to redeem those souls that were lost. And that includes many of you here in this meeting this morning. And I want to stress, men and women, that redemption is the great theme of the book of Ruth. Remember that every book of the Bible has a theme. I want to encourage you to think of that as you read and as you study the scriptures for yourself. One of the most important things that will make Bible study very profitable for you is to seek to look and to understand and unfold the great themes of every book of the Bible. And I want you to see and understand today that the story of Ruth, that this Moabitess girl that came back to Bethlehem with Naomi, the story of Ruth is an illustration of redemption. The Hebrew word ga'al is the word to redeem. It's found 23 times in the four chapters of the book of Ruth. And the first occurrence of it is in verse 20, our text today. The words right at the end, our next kinsman. That kinsman, that's the word ga'al. So I want you to see, the book of Ruth teaches us about redemption, about paying the price to buy back that which was lost. Remember that this family had lost everything. They left Bethlehem at a time of famine. They went to Moab. The result of that was they lost their home. They lost their land. They lost their property, their possessions. They lost their money. They lost their standing in the community. Here's a family lost everything by the move to Moab. Under the Jewish law, we have read some of it in the course of these studies. You read again the words of Leviticus 25. But under the Jewish law, what was lost could be redeemed again, could be bought back. What a great blessing that is. What a great blessing it must have been to families in those days. But in order for redemption to take place. In order for a family that had lost everything to be redeemed, there was one thing that was essential, and that was this. There needed to be a redeemer. And there was three things that were necessary in order to qualify a man to be a redeemer. One was the wealth. He had to have the money, the wherewithal. In chapter 2, verse 1, we're told that Boaz was a mighty man of wealth. So he qualified as far as the money was concerned. Another thing that was necessary was relationship. He had to be a near relative of the people that were to be redeemed. And that's what our verse is teaching us. The man is near of kin unto us. One of our next kinsmen. Do you know the word there is actually kinsman redeemer? What a lovely term that is. That's what Boaz was. In fact, that's what Christ was. Boaz, you know, is the only example. He stands out for this reason. He is the only example in all the Bible of a kinsman redeemer. He pictures Christ. Because remember, Boaz was near of kin, and Christ was born of a woman. He took human nature upon him. So he was our kinsman. Bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He was our kinsman. But he came to be our kinsman redeemer. So he needed to have the wealth. He needed to have the relationship. The third thing that was necessary to be a redeemer was he had to be willing. Had to be willing to redeem. Remember, Boaz didn't have to redeem Naomi and Ruth and the family and so on. There was another relative closer. And in the will of God, we'll take a little look at him at some time. There was a closer relative. But you know why he didn't redeem Naomi and the family? Because he wasn't willing. But Boaz was willing. Why? What made the difference? Why was Boaz willing to redeem Naomi and her family? Well, there was only one thing. Because of love. And with Christ, men and women, it is the same. He redeemed us. Why? Well, there's no other answer. He redeemed us because he loved us. And I want you to see that you had to be a redeemer. If you were going to be a redeemer, going to qualify as a redeemer, then these things were all necessary. And Boaz met every one of the qualifications. Boaz is the redeemer. In a sense, he was the redeemer of Israel, but he's essentially the redeemer of this family. And that is his role in the story. And that's the way I want you to think of him. That's the way I want you to remember Boaz. He's the redeemer. And as such, he's a beautiful type, a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, as you think of Boaz the Redeemer, remember that he redeemed not just the Jews, but also the Gentiles. Because remember that Ruth was a Moabite as she was a Gentile. He redeemed not just the young. Ruth was young, but he redeemed the old as well. And Naomi. And everyone in the family in between. In essence, he redeemed the whole family. What an encouragement that is, men and women. Do you ever think of your whole family in Christ redeemed? Like it was in Israel, or like as it was in Egypt, the night of the Passover. All the family sheltered beneath the blood. Boaz redeemed this whole family. And I want you to know that Christ can do the same. The Bible says of Noah that he built an ark to the saving of his house. And that, men and women, is something to get your eyes on. So often, we lose sight of the things that really matter. We lose sight of the things that are really important. We get caught up with things that, at the end of the day, don't matter at all. build an ark to the saving of his house. What about your house today? What about your family? What about your children and your relatives? But that was what was foremost in Noah's mind when he built that great vessel. In the light of God's warning of judgment that was to come, it was the saving of his house. I know that God would write that in your heart today. And Christ can save your whole house. Be in no doubt of that. It's what we often describe as household salvation. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And I want you to understand as well that Boaz didn't just redeem people. He also redeemed property. And that reminds us that what Christ did when he died on the cross includes the redemption of this earth in which we live. What is the condition of the earth today? Well, Paul tells us in the book of Romans, creation groans, creation travails. Why is that? Because of the curse of sin that was placed upon it. But there's going to be a redemption of the earth, men and women. The book of Acts talks about the restitution of all things. What a statement that is. And he says that it's something that was taught and preached by all the holy prophets. Something that's found in all the Old Testament. What is the restitution of all things? That's what God's going to do when the Savior comes again. He's going to put everything in this earth back the way it was prior to the fall. The restitution of all things. And beyond that, men and women, there's going to be the new heavens and the new earth. So the redemption doesn't just include people. It includes property. And that reminds us of this world, this earth. Remember that after the flood, Noah stood on a cleansed or on a redeemed earth. And one day we'll do the same. When God's purposes have been fulfilled and the consummation comes, we too will stand upon a redeemed, a cleansed earth, the new heavens, the new earth. So I want you to see, men and women, redemption is not yet complete. The work for redemption is done. It is finished. It is complete. We're doing the cries of the cross on Thursday nights. The next one, the sixth, reminds us it's finished. What a statement that was. The work for redemption is complete. But redemption itself is not. Because it includes the redemption of this earth. And it also includes the redemption of your body. God's redemption is full. God's redemption is a complete redemption. Again, Paul, writing in the Romans, talks about the redemption of the body. Not just the soul. Can I ask you how it is with your soul today? We sang those words, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Is that your experience, your condition? Is that your testimony today? Is your soul redeemed? Well, I want you to know, men and women, redemption includes the redemption of your body. When will that happen? Well, we read about it in Job 19. In those words that, in my flesh shall I see God. How will that happen, men and women? In my flesh, not in my spirit. In my flesh shall I see God. That'll happen at the resurrection. Your body raised again, reunited with your soul. And then redemption will be full. And redemption will be complete. You know, the book of Ruth, there are two phrases that I can give you that sum up the entire book and the entire message of the book. One is to find grace. In chapter 2 and verse 2, Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go into the field, or go to the field and glean ears of corn, after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And that sums up chapters 1 and 2. And then there's find rest. If you look there at chapter 3, verse 1, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? So those two statements, in essence, sum up the entire book. Find grace is a summary of chapters 1 and 2. Find rest is a summary of chapters 3 and 4. And those two statements, men and women, teach you the reason for and the result of God's redemption. What is the reason for redemption? Why were you redeemed? Well, because of grace. What is the result of God's redemption? It's rest, men and women. And especially and essentially eternal rest in heaven. Do you remember it says of the dove, Noah let out of the ark, found no rest for the sole of its foot. And maybe that's your condition today. No rest. Not saved. No peace in your heart. You're troubled. Maybe even terrified about the thought of going out into eternity. Do you know what you need, men and women? You need to experience redemption. Redemption through the blood of Christ. Just to say to you, silver speaks of redemption. In the Old Testament, the atonement money was silver. The redemptive money, it was silver. That emphasizes that to us. Every time you see silver in the Bible, remember that you're thinking there about the theme of redemption. Mr. Douglas, in the class with us in the Hebrew class lasted maybe 4 hours. We had been through Dr. Paisley's class in the morning from 8 o'clock maybe to 10:30 or 10:45. Mr. Douglas's Hebrew class started at 11, lasted till about 2:50 or almost 3 o'clock. And then we were straight into his in-depth exegesis class. It was meant to start at 2:45, but normally the class that we were in didn't finish until after the other class should have started. 4 hours without a break of Hebrew. He would go through the declension of the verb with us. He had to do a test on that. He would come in and mark those and talk about the results. And he would take you through the next chapter of the book. He would do your homework, the translation he'd given you to do at home. And then the most special part of the class was he would take us through a part of the Hebrew Bible and show us how to use the Hebrew, how to draw from the scripture some of the great truths. He did with us that portion in the book of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah bought the field of his uncle's son and the weighing out of the silver. And he started to develop and to draw out for us the theme of redemption. So he thought of the silver. And you know, men and women, he actually broke down in the class that day. So overcome as he thought of what Christ had done, the price that he had paid for the saving of our souls. Broke down. It took him a few minutes just to gather his emotions and to be able to carry on with the class. And I want you to think about that in the light of coming to sit at this table this morning, and I trust that you will stay for the time at the table. How many times you read the Bible and read the great truths of the gospel and read of what Christ has done for you. How often we sit in meetings like this and hear the gospel preached, the good news, no greater story. Hear of redeeming love and redeeming grace, redeeming mercy. And yet it goes over our heads. Goes over our heads without a thought. Ever touched, your heart touched? Ever like the night you were first saved and you saw Christ for the first time? Whereas the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and his word? Is our hearts touched today as we think Think of the price that he paid. Redemption through the blood. You know, men and women, if our hearts are not touched, our hearts are not right. I want you to know that today, and I include myself in that too. When you think of redemption, lost, hell bound, bought back with precious blood, the blood of God's own dear Son, the God man. When you think of that today, if your heart's not touched, and that doesn't speak to you, doesn't change you, doesn't cause you to go from this meeting today a different man, a different woman, a different young person, there's something not right with your heart. The Bible, you know, everything in the Bible is of significance, every detail. You always ought to note even the order. You know, in the Bible, in virtually every case, when it talks about metals like gold and silver, that's the order we would put them in. But the Bible puts them in a different order. We put gold first because, in our understanding, gold's the most precious. But you read the Bible carefully and you will find silver is first. And then the gold follows. Abraham was very rich in silver and in gold. Do you know what the lesson there is, men and women? The lesson is redemption first and then heaven. You need to be redeemed today. You need to have an experience of God's salvation in this world, in this life, before you die. Redemption comes first. And I want to impress that on your hearts. Even the tabernacles, or the sockets in the tabernacle that the pillars stood in were all of silver. And the idea there, men and women, is that the tabernacle stood or rested on silver. Rested and stood on redemption ground. What a great truth that is. The question is, where do you stand today? Where do you stand in the light of the things of God? Where do you stand, men and women, in the light of eternity? Are you standing on redemption ground? Standing on the blood? Are you redeemed today? Redeemed by the precious blood of Christ? You may be baptized. You may be catechized. Some of you might even at one time might have been confirmed, and so many other things. They're all of no value in the light of eternity. The question is, are you redeemed? I am redeemed. Oh, praise the Lord. We'll sing those words in a moment or two. Are you redeemed? Or are you still lost? I'll say this in closing. John Newton, we thought of John Newton for a while last Sunday night in the gospel meeting, those two great truths. John Newton, in his study, the text that was most prominent was the words of Deuteronomy 24, verse 18. And that text says, "Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. For the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence." F.W. Borum was a great Baptist preacher, preached in New Zealand, in Tasmania, in Melbourne. I've read two books. I've read his own autobiography and another biography of the life of Borum, what a life it was. When I was in Tasmania, I made a point of finding his church in Hobart and arranging with a pastor to go and visit it and to have a tour. F.W. Borum, one of the things that he's most remembered for is a great series that he preached, great texts and great men, lasted 5 years, runs into 5 volumes. I have all 5 volumes of those messages in my library. He started to preach on the text that influenced some of the greatest men that ever lived. He had read extensively the biographies and so on of those men. In fact, it read so widely, he could have answered nearly every question that anybody wanted to know about those men and those women too. And one of the ones that he preached on was John Newton. And men and women, that was John Newton's text. Summed up Newton's life. He knew it himself. Thou shalt remember. What did John Newton need to remember all the days of his life? That he was a bondman in the land of Egypt. Remember that he had put so many in chains, so many in bonds. He had been the master, the captain of the slave ships, sailed to Africa. Remember I told you last Sunday night he sinned until his heart was content. One of the great evils in which he was engaged in the early part of his life was the capturing of slaves and bringing them to America and to Britain. And then after his conversion, he lived for the emancipation of the slaves. Thou shalt remember, you were a bondman. You put so many in chains, but you were a bondman yourself. Because you were held fast by sin. You were a slave of the devil. Thou shalt remember. But what made the difference, men and women? The Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. And I pray, men and women, as you think of this, this is the theme, the great theme of the book of Ruth. The theme of redemption. I pray now the meeting's over and we'll come to the table in a moment or two. And I pray that as you read the Bible this week, and as you study the scriptures and the will of God as we carry on with this study, I pray that you'll remember you were a bondman. Never forget where you were and who you were and where you were heading. Remember all the days of your life. Remember the state that you were in because of your sins. Remember you were a bondman in the land of Egypt, but remember that great statement in the book of Ephesians, but God, well, here's a but God moment. The Lord thy God. Only for God's grace, and as we've emphasized it, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord thy God. You need to come to the table today for no other reason, men and women, other just than to thank God that you're saved today. That you're no longer what you used to be by his grace and mercy. Remember that you were a bondman in the land of Egypt, but the Lord thy God redeemed thee. He sent his son to die, to shed his blood, to give his life, to pay the price. What a price it was. No greater price ever paid. There was a lady one time touring Europe. She found a painting. She wanted to buy it. It was very expensive. She telegrammed home to her husband, asking his thoughts. And he sent back a telegram, which he thought said, no, the price is too high. But the punctuation wasn't correct. And the message that she got was, no price too high. She thought the message was, pay whatever you have to pay to get it. So you can imagine his shock when she landed home with a painting. No price too high, men and women. No price. He that withheld not his only son, but freely gave him up for us all. No price too high. Nothing could have been paid more than was paid that day at Calvary. Why? To redeem you. You were lost. And he wanted to buy back that which was lost. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen, kinsman, redeemer. That's what Boaz was. The only one in all the Bible. And that's what Christ is to men and women. You're a kinsman. Because he came down to earth, was manifest in the flesh, he's your kinsman. But he's more than that. He's your kinsman. Redeemer. Came to redeem you from all your sins. 320, we'll sing a verse or two.